Welcome to episode 2 of the Phil and Will Show. Last week was a good time.
Have some energy. That was like a depressing.
I'm talking to you.
Book with episode 2 of the Phil.
11 it's like,
wake
PM
up, man. Eastern. It's.
I gotta give myself the jolt. I gotta go do a shot of espresso or something and really get myself going. But more importantly, Will, I have no energy because you and I both said we really liked Washington on Monday. And how did that work out for any listeners who actually took us seriously?
I said I liked them. I liked the points. Did I look super into it before a show and make an official, like, this is like a lock, this is a pick that I'm advising anyone to take? I don't think I made that claim. I actually bet on Michigan, and I put a lot on Michigan once I got kind of further looked into it and listened to some other people that I trust, and it seemed like the public was really heavy on Washington, but the line kept moving. It went from like 4.5 to 5.5. So I also Michigan's probably my third team out of my college football teams. I know that might be weird to have three teams or even two teams. Like if it's the NFL or the
NBA. It's called loyalty, Will. You don't have it, huh?
No, I know. I think if any sport, to have multiple teams, college football is okay because there's like 130 of them and they're like, it's so localized. Like at least it used to be a really localized sport. So I used to grow up, I would go to the Michigan Ohio State game, and I've been to a bunch of Michigan basketball games. I have family who lives right outside Ann Arbor who are all Michigan fans, family that went to Michigan. So I was rooting for Michigan, even though I'm also a Pac-12 guy. I don't know. I think it's okay in college football, but yeah, Michigan took it home. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for Harbaugh. He used to be the coach of Stanford and the Niners, two of my teams. Stanford's my other team, and Miami obviously is my other team. So it goes.
So really, you only root for one college football team, and then you root for two other schools that put people on a field, but I don't know if you would really call them college football players.
I mean, now we got two teams in the ACC, the Stanford and Miami, the classic
Atlantic
ACC
Coast, baby. You know how Stanford
rivalry
is.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're going to – Stanford's on its way up. Miami's on its way up. Maybe not to Michigan level, but did you bet on Washington? Did you feel good enough to place some real money on?
And I will say that if Penix didn't get hurt, I think hurt, he was like banged up, but I feel like if he was healthier, like he seemed off. I feel like the moment was too big for him. And then towards the end, it just fell apart.
I don't think the moment was too big for him. I just think they had not played a defense like Michigan's all season. And it was this is like, I mean, that Michigan defense is going to have like 8 NFL draft picks, I think. Like, it's like he's playing an NFL defense, essentially. I mean, obviously they're younger, but.
Yeah. And Michigan wins the title. And then what has to happen? Nick Saban has to take the spotlight back and he retires.
Michigan killed him.
They killed him.
It was Michigan who ended Saban. Yeah, that's how you have to look at it if you're Michigan. You're not taking thunder away from your title. You're adding to the glory because you ended Nick Saban. That's how Michigan fans, I think, are going to take that one.
Oh, yeah. I think Michigan fans are going to be stoked. And rightfully so. I mean, you should be excited if you're a Michigan fan that Nick Saban is gone and you were the last team to beat him. That's a great feeling. But so – we're going to be doing NFL wildcard weekend predictions towards the end of this episode. We'll be definitely getting to that. And
I feel like that's going to be most of the episode.
Well, they said, can you timestamp it? So I'll actually timestamp stuff tonight so that you all can get it at the right time and not listen to stuff you don't want to. Because last week we started with the traders, and there might be people who don't care about the traders. And then we jumped into a couple other things. And so here we are. We're gonna give timestamps. Give people what they want.
Give us feedback. You know what do you want to hear? What do timestamps? That's good feedback. This is only episode 2 ever of a show that we don't. Again, every episode could be the last one. We don't know.
Will said last week, like, you know, if you want to know where we're gonna be, you know, Thursday nights, the Phil and Will Show, and here we are on a Wednesday night, 11:05, doing the Phil and Will Show.
So. Well, there's a major reason for that, and Phil, why don't you tell us what that reason is? Why are we coming to you Wednesday night instead? Because obviously Wednesday night cannot be the weekly night for the Phil and Will Show when we do a Survivor podcast live after the episodes.
Yeah, so we decided that there's a new show on Netflix that's kind of working as counter programming to the Traitors called The Trust, A Game of Greed, and they have to call it The Trust, A Game of Greed, because if they don't put A Game of Greed, there's like 12 other shows called The Trust. So I'm pretty sure they're getting like copyright hit and trademark hit or whatever. But so it's called The Trust, A Game of Greed. And I actually spent all day watching the first four episodes of it. And it released four episodes today. It's releasing three episodes next Wednesday. And then it's releasing one episode the Wednesday after that. So Will and I figured, why not give that a shot? Do a little recap of it. See if it's something. I mean, kind of talk about it. Just as how it fits into this reality world right now, because the reality world is ever expanding with how successful The Traitors was. And it was a fun show. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to talk about. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow because Will just got off work and he actually does need to watch the episodes. Yes. And unfortunately for all of you, I wasn't going to wait up till 3 a.m. for Will to finish the episodes and then sit down to podcast. So.
Yeah, there's no way to get four episodes in today on, you know, the day it dropped. But Phil and Will's show is not as urgent or timely or based on when episodes drop. It's just kind of as long as game lines are out. I think that's probably our only restriction. I don't think we would want to do an NFL wildcard weekend preview and not have the lines out. But those come out pretty early, immediately, anyway, at least for the NFL. So yep. No worries there, and we will get to that later in this episode.
Yeah, so we got a busy week because we're doing The Trust tomorrow, and then we'll be doing The Traitors on Friday, and then we'll have an episode that we pre-recorded coming out on Saturday for Patreon preview, and then on Sunday we do our Survivor Second Chances 2 pre-40 men. So we have a busy weekend ahead, and Will, rest your vocal cords. I know you haven't done this for a long time, so get it going.
Yeah, this is a lot. We're coming back in hot. We're coming back in, but that was part of the rebrand, was let's do other things besides Survivor. Obviously, we're the two biggest Survivor experts in all of the internet, and we have the best takes and opinions. But let's talk about other stuff. So this is us doing that.
Yeah. So I want to start off, and we have this labeled as pressing questions and NFL wildcard predictions. So I want to start off because My pressing question is more of like a statement, and then it's weird for me because I grew up on the East Coast, you grew up on the West Coast, and you grew up a little bit more involved in this world of film, right? Or maybe you didn't grow up involved in the world.
Not at all.
But you at least were in the state where this was taking place. You knew people who were involved in this world of film. So like,
yeah,
I didn't
know anything. San Francisco and LA are like a 3-hour drive apart. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, So the Golden Globes happened this past weekend. So anybody who knows, we do our cinema specialist show. Like John and I always do Oscar predictions. It's really exciting. But the Golden Globes were this past weekend. I didn't even know they were on. And I used to like go out of my way. Me and my dad would watch the Golden Globes and watch the Academy Awards. We'd watch them every year. We were big film guys. Like that's what we wanted to do. This was on Sunday night and I had no idea until I went to look up, because I wasn't watching the first half of the Bills-Dolphins game. So I went to look up what the score was. And Golden Globes popped up in my Twitter thing. And I was like, what? That's on? And what my question / statement is, we were talking about last week with like RIP bowl season and everything like that. The Golden Globes used to be the party. And it used to be like the predecessor to the Oscars. And it used to be exciting. And it used to be fun. And people used to love it. And now they've gotten so desperate that they actually included an award this year called Cinematic and Box Office Achievement, which was an award.
I saw that come up. I was so confused. I'm like, is this an award or is it just like a metric? It's like, who made the most? Is it like an objective thing? Like, oh, this movie made the most money. Give it an award. It doesn't need an award. Just made all that money. But go
exactly.
On.
So this is what I want to say. Cinematic and Box Office Achievement. Here's the nominees, because this is where I'm going with this.
I like it. This is a nomination. It's just be like, who... I guess it could go a couple ways. Like percentage of budget made back could be a good metric, or just like total box office.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so you look at this and it's Barbie, which won, obviously. The movie made over $1 billion. So obviously it won. Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what I mean. Why is it an award?
Why is it an award? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, John Wick Chapter 4, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Taylor Swift The Eras Tour.
Wait, so is it just like the top 7 grossing movies? Is that they just like, let's look at the top 7, draw the line there, and there are your nominees. Like there's no subjectivity. An award should be subjective for the most part. I mean, when you look at even sports awards, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, it's like you're looking at a full body of work and you're forming an opinion on what you've seen. Whereas like in the NBA, you have like scoring leader. That's not an award. It's a title. Whoever scored the most points per game wins it. It's not a debate. You know, so, Steph Curry in 2020, I believe, 2020 or 2021, he scored the most points per game. You get the award. This feels kind of like that, but they're adding some subjectivity to it.
So I have no idea. So that this is what I want to. So this is what I'm going to do. So there were 8 nominees. Barbie was the top grossing movie domestically, and it was nominated. Super Mario Brothers was 2. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was 3. Guardians of the Galaxy was 4. Oppenheimer was 5. Little Mermaid at number 6 was number 6, but did not get nominated for this award.
What a snub. What an absolute snub.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania was number 8. Did not get nominated for this award. I skipped Avatar, The Way of Water, because it made a bunch of money this year, but it's really a last year's movie. John Wick Chapter 4 was number 9 and got the nom. Sound of Freedom made $184 million, did not get a nomination. And then Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour was number 11. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny was skipped. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1 was in there. And then Oppenheimer, which did really well for an R-rated movie, one of the highest grossing R-rated movies of all time. But Oppenheimer wasn't – oh, no, I already said Oppenheimer. So it was number 5. Okay, so Oppenheimer was on there.
I was gonna say, Oppenheimer made a shit ton of money.
But so anyway, all I'm saying with this is, why is this an award? Because clearly, like, I'm like a cinephile. I love movies. I'll watch all the old movies. I watched a movie from like 1963 yesterday. I'll watch movies from the 30s. I'll watch silent movies. I don't care. But it seems like with the Oscars and the Golden Globes, they've really gone away from making it about like film. I feel like you're celebrating these big box office movies by going to the box office and watching them and giving them press and giving them trailers and putting them on commercials and TV and blah, 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 all that stuff. But now they're creating an award for this, and yet their viewership is down 10 million viewers on the Golden Globes since 2019. That's 10. It was 19.6 million back then. It was 9.6. So the way they're spinning it this year is that it was a 50% increase from last year, because last year was like 6 point something. So it's like, oh, look, it did really good. It is still 10 million viewers off of what it was in 2019. And that wasn't even the peak of the Golden Globes.
Oh, is not at all. It's been going. And this isn't even go for the Golden Globes. This is award shows in general are just completely irrelevant and no one really cares anymore.
Yeah, is there any way to save them? Or are they just the thing of the past, and people like me who obsess over Best Picture winners and stuff like that are just an anomaly, and I just need to suffer through it? Because it's not even a day for me anymore. That's what annoys me. It's like I had 2 days out of the year. It was the Golden Globes and it was the Oscars. That as a huge movie fan, I could sit down and I could watch that stuff. And now they're even trying to turn that into a more commercialized thing, and it's not working. It's hurting the product more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I grew up and my mom was super into the Oscars, like loved it so much that we used to have big Oscar parties at our house. We'd have it catered. We'd tell people to dress up as your favorite movie star from back in the day. So my sister and mom, they dressed up as Catherine and Audrey Hepburn. And who did I dress up as? I don't know. I think I was just like a pirate from, I think I was Jack Sparrow, even though that wasn't not Oscar nominated. But I think my dad was,
Oscar nominated for that.
He was. Okay. That's also like, that's getting more to my point on this, which I don't know if I have a coherent point. So this just came up, but I feel like, and this could be wrong, but I feel like awards used to give out, like the nominations of these awards were the biggest, most awesome, kick-ass movies of the year. The movies that people wanted to see, the box office hits, the Hollywood glamour, the big movie stars on the big screen. And maybe that's why they invented this random award to give some credit to these box office hits that maybe aren't as artsy and getting the awards anymore. Because if you look, I go back to 2006, who won Best Picture, Phil? You should know this.
The Departed.
The Departed. Okay, who is in The Departed?
Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, Alec Baldwin, Martin Sheen. You want me to keep going? Vera Farmiga. Yeah, just go down the
line. Okay, who directed it?
Martin Scorsese.
Okay, so you take a movie like that. That would be one Best Picture. Okay, tell me who was in The Shape of Water.
Sally Hawkins, who's Richard.
That? I don't know who that is.
Well, you asked who was in it.
I'm just saying.
Michael Shannon was in it. Michael Stuhlbarg was in it.
I do love Michael Shannon. I love Michael Shannon.
Yeah. Michael Stuhlbarg. Did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
No.
Okay. So Michael Stuhlbarg was in it.
Or another, I mean, there's plenty of other recent examples, but like
it's not going to work against me.
No, I'm not trying to, but it could work for our listeners. Like, who the hell are these people? What is Shape of Water? It's an artsy, more independent film. And back in the day, I mean, 03, fucking Lord of the Rings is winning Best Picture. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have No Country for Old Men. You have Hurt Locker, and these are like kind of bigger movies with movie stars. And now into, you know, the 2010s and now into the 2020s, it's like we are getting these more artsy, independent. And this is a product of having so much content. I think that's really the heart of the issue is basically forever in the movie industry, there is what, 5 or 6 studios. And that's how you got movies made. You had to be a studio movie. That's the only way you're getting the resources, the capital, the actors, the talent, the directors, everything that needed to happen to make a movie, you needed to go through a major studio that was going to then promote and advertise the movie. Now, anyone can make a freaking movie. Like, you can just pick up a camera, you can pick up an iPhone. Not that that's what's happening with a lot of these, but there's so many, you don't need a major studio that the amount of content coming out. And then it became, okay, if we're going to look at all this content, what stories have maybe these more important messages or themes that should be important to society in each given year. And it's not necessarily like, who made me just smile my ass off at the theater? Like when I went and watched Inception, I am just, oh my God, this is incredible. This is great. And then you watch some of these other more recent ones.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won Best Picture last year, was a pretty mainstream movie though.
It was an independent movie. That wasn't a major studio movie though. Mm-hmm. And it you know, has a lot of foreign actors. It has a lot of weird themes going on. And I think that is an example, like a really good example. I mean, we had a first foreign film win Best Picture in what, 2021 with Parasite, or was it 2019?
It was 2019? Right before COVID. Yeah.
Right before, like, so the amount of content, the amount of movies that are out there and the amount they're even considered for these awards, like no one can kind of keep up. That the same thing happened with the Emmys, where it used to be your TV shows that everyone watched. So everyone's tuning in Sunday night to watch Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or Lost.
Sopranos back in the day. Sopranos, they could lose.
You know, yeah. 24, a network show with 24 episodes a season, that won Best Drama in 2007 with season 5, I want to say. And that everyone tuned in and everyone's focused with the amount of shows, it just becomes less important because everyone has seen fewer of these things getting nominated. Mm-hmm. And it takes so much away from the awards. Like the most fun part about the awards is looking at the nominees, watching the clips, which they've also gotten rid of the little
they've clips. Gotten rid of all the
little
stuff.
Clips were the best part of the whole show. Cause I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this show. I haven't seen this movie, but give me one intense little scene with some great dialogue, some really good acting. And, you know, or it's the editing award. It's like, shoo, 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 like really great editing.
Thank you for that sound effect.
And now I don't even like, even the movies I haven't seen, I don't even get my little snippet. So I'm even more pissed, but it was fun to go in like, oh, I've seen that movie. I liked it. I'm going to root for that one because it's the one I've seen. Now it's like, I've seen the more movies you've seen of the award season movies, the more you're going to like it. And now that we have all this content, it's leading to every individual has seen fewer and fewer of the movies that are being mm-hmm. edited. Sorry, really long rant here.
But yeah, that was a long rant. I mean, really, really the point I'm at is more of what I'm trying to say with the Oscars and with Golden Globes, especially the Golden Globes, because the Golden Globes have become irrelevant, which is crazy because 10 years ago, the Golden Globes, it was like whatever won Best Drama was the favorite then to win the Oscar. And now that's not the case. Now the Oscar nominations, like they come out later and everything. Like, so it doesn't matter to people. But I think the biggest problem right now is like these types of shows, like your mom was really into it. So she brought her nerdy son who thought that Jack Sparrow was like an iconic character because he was 2 years old.
He is an iconic
character. He's iconic now, but like 2 years after that movie came out, when your mom says, go pick an older character, you pick
someone. No, you didn't have to pick an older character. You have to pick someone you like. But like, yeah, you're trying to pick out. Everyone was trying to go with a deep cut. I was like, I'm just going to be Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, but so essentially what I'm trying to get at is like the movies that get nominated, you're always going to have those artsy movies. Moonlight won Best Picture over La La Land, which I think is crazy, but it happened. And you had Manchester by the Sea, Hell or High Water. But then you did have Hidden Figures, which was a box office movie. You had Hacksaw Ridge, which is a big box office movie. You are always going to have that balance. But I think what the people who are producing these shows are missing the point of is the people who love Barbie don't really give a shit if Barbie wins an Oscar or wins a Golden Globe. They aren't going to tune in to see if it's going to win. They'll go on Twitter and tweet about it and say whatever, but they're not going to tune in. So like when you make this separate award that then gives Barbie, it like all the headlines were like Barbie wins big. I was like, holy shit, did it win best? Did it win best whatever at the Golden Globes? And it didn't win anything. The Golden Globe, what were the Golden Globe winners? I know Oppenheimer won Best Picture for Drama, which obviously Barbie couldn't win. But then for musical or comedy, Poor Things beat Barbie. So Barbie didn't even win musical or comedy, but it was like Barbie was the big winner because Barbie won cinematic and box office achievement. It's like, what even is that? Like, what are we even talking about at this point that we have a category that is dedicated to that? And who is that supposed to appeal to? Because people aren't going to tune in to watch Barbie win.
I'm telling you, it's, achievement. It's to just get the big blockbuster. Like, if that's the whole idea.
But Barbie was nominated for musical or comedy anyway.
I know it was. I know. I think it's just more like, oh, let's get like Mission Impossible. I don't know. I'm trying to, with so many movies coming out each year and then these awards skewing to more of the not box office hits like it used to. They're trying to maybe reel all that back in. And also on the Golden Globes, the best part about it, I think the big thing with the Golden Globes was that it wasn't just like people sitting in their seats and going to a show. It was a dinner party. Everyone's at a table eating dinner. And more importantly than the food was the booze. And that basically it got all of Hollywood together, all the biggest actors, directors, mainly the actors and the actresses. Mm-hmm. And it got them boozed up, liquored up. So there's a bunch of fun moments in the crowd, like a bunch of social memeable things that can be shared. And then the speeches are always like way out of whack because everyone's drunk. And that was kind of the draw. But just like anything, like we've seen with Survivor, we've seen with any live programming, you're now competing against video on demand everywhere. Mm-hmm. Streamers everywhere. Everyone consumes content by streaming, and a lot of people don't have cable. And so I think this is just kind of the trend. This is the way it goes to get people to tune into a live event, unless it's sports. Sports is kind of the only thing that's held out. The award shows held out for a little bit. They are always up in some of the most watched things. But with all this other content to watch, and you don't even know half these shows that they're talking about or half these movies, it's tough, man. It's tough to get people to tune in.
Yeah. So before we jump over, John says 24 winning best drama while The Sopranos, The Wire, and Lost is on was wild. And it is. I mean, it just kind of shows like the changing landscape.
24, I give credit to as like changing TV forever. And not that they were the first serialized drama, but they were the first major serialized drama on a network, on a broadcast network that had a storyline that basically – every season it reset to a new day, but you're watching the same characters again. I know there's Twin Peaks was one also.
I was going to say, you better mention Twin Peaks. You're going to get
20, yeah. 24 was a game changer for, you know, this wasn't a premium show. It wasn't an HBO. It wasn't Showtime. It was on Fox on weeknights for 1 hour, and you had to follow the whole season for 24 episodes. And it went like 9 seasons. I mean, 24, one of my favorite shows ever. And it deserved it that year. It was great. Season 5. Go watch season 5 of 24.
Yeah. Before I jump over to your thing, this is totally, totally, totally unrelated. But I just want to, you know, make mention of people when they put stuff in the comments here. And Clutch Hattrick asked if we followed college basketball. It's been a crazy season far. We won't talk about college basketball anytime soon because Miami just lost to Louisville. And Louisville had not won a road game in, I think, 4 years. And they just beat Miami tonight in Miami. So just want to get that misery out of the way there.
I think we could do a we'll probably won't talk about college basketball until March, which is when
the conference tournaments start.
Yeah, the whole world starts caring about college basketball in March, and I think it's a really tough sport to follow. I mean,
they dribble, they put the ball in the basket, and then the team that gets the most points wins. That is a little tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, that is tough. And then like some shots are worth different point values too. Yeah. So yeah, that makes it really hard.
All right, you wanted to do pressing questions. So what
I didn't think we'd get 25 minutes into this just talking about award season.
You want to hold yours off?
I think so. I think we have too much NFL stuff to talk about.
All right, we're going to get an NFL stuff, but I just want to let everybody know Will is really excited for his pressing question. So I honestly, well,
clearly I'm not that excited if I'm willing to not.
No, you're just building the suspense, man. I've been sweating. I didn't sleep last night because I was like, what is Will going to talk about tomorrow?
All right, we can talk about it for 5 minutes if you want to. It's not that pressing.
No, we're going next week. No.
Okay. Next week. Next
mildly week. Pressed question. We'll be done next week. But a lot of people want to hear us talk about the NFL stuff.
They do?
Last week, the NFL stuff was a big hit, which gets me excited because I like talking about NFL stuff. So I'm just gonna read through a couple of the comments here in the chat, give people their credit, and then we can kind of comment on that and go game by game or whatever we want to do. But Catherine Jessica Nadoff says, the funny thing is the Chiefs' last two playoff games of the pre-Mahomes era were also at home. So Mahomes is always, the Chiefs are always playing at home. They just tended to lose.
I mean, isn't the whole deal like Mahomes has never played
He's never won a road playoff game.
Did he go to New England? Like his
I think
first
he went
year.
To New England and lost.
Yeah,
right?
That sounds.
Yeah. We have Jack Conroy. Easy to forget that the Alex Smith Chiefs were still pretty good. Clutch hat trick. Time for Stafford to ruin Detroit's dreams and for Green Bay to ruin McCarthy's job.
Love Alex Smith. I just got to take a quick second here. Big Alex Smith fan over here.
Jack Conroy, Packers beating Cowboys would be just incredible. And that's it. We're caught up on football news. So I'm not just doing this because I'm a Lions fan, but the Lions game seems like it is the one that matters to everybody right now. Am I wrong in saying that? Like everybody cares about the Lions right now?
I think that is probably the biggest game of Wild Card Weekend. The most important, most eyeballs, whatever you want to call it. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of them is the whole narrative surrounding it, which we talked about last week with Stafford returning to Detroit after all these years, and even Goff playing his former team that he took to a Super Bowl. And there's intrigue on both sides either way, just narratively. And then you look from like a football side and you look at the Lions' first division win in, I don't know, however many
years
since you've been alive, Phil.
Yeah, 93.
And you look at this Rams team who really turned it on later in the season, and you basically look at that 2021 season, 2022 Super Bowl. That was not that long ago, and that this roster isn't all that different. Obviously, there are some changes, but this is a Super Bowl roster, essentially, with a Super Bowl winning head coach who might have a worse record in the lower seed, but can very much win this game. I think it's like a real toss-up on the football side of things as well, in addition to the narrative. So that's what I'm seeing and why I think there's so much hype around it. I think it deserves it.
Yeah, they put it on Sunday Night Football. I don't know. There was a rumor going around that Monday Night Football had to be a 4-5 matchup. Is there merit to that?
I will say that since they've started putting Monday Night Football out there, I think it's always been NFC 4-5. I want to say
Monday night. Yeah. Cause I know the first year was the Rams versus the Cardinals, the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl.
And then I think the second year was Dallas versus Tampa Bay. No, Dallas versus Seattle. I'm pretty sure the Cowboys played in the Monday night game last year. That's because I remember as a Niner.
Last year was Dallas at Tampa. Dallas won, and
yes,
you know, we them boys were back for a little bit.
Yeah, and then the Niners beat them for a second time in a row.
Yeah,
so I remember looking at that, and then the Niners had to play on Sunday, so the difference was in Georgia. We had an extra day of rest, and we're playing at home against the Cowboys. And I remember looking like, oh, that's a little bit of an advantage, like a whole day. And when it's just a week, like that's a pretty big spot, like a pretty big disadvantage. If you win that game on Monday night, you're gonna play. You're not going to play Saturday, but you're definitely playing Sunday of the next round.
Yeah, but guess what?
What?
The Rams won the Super Bowl the first year they did it, so it kind of mooted that point. You know,
they overcame it. They overcame it.
I'm just saying. So it does look like, yeah, it's always been the NFC 4-5 matchup because they've only done it. This is only the third year.
But
so
why does it have to be?
I don't know. Maybe from a fairness perspective of making sure that they're not just putting in the biggest name teams and they're actually trying to put in the best, one of the best games, which is funny because this, I'd argue that the 4-5 matchups are actually, they could be good games, but they're not.
Well, it is what I just said. That's why they do it. It is because it is a disadvantage playing on Monday night because you know you're going to have one day less of preparing for the next round. Whoever wins, and so they wouldn't do that to a 1, 2, or 3 seed because you're
to a 1 seed. The 1 seed's not even playing.
Right. Okay. Well, you're not going to do that to a high seeded team because you can't punish them for performing well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give it to this division winner who, you know, was 1 game over .500. And then, you know, the fifth seed, who cares about the fifth seed? You didn't win your division. You have no right to complain. So I think that all adds up.
So, okay, let's go in order though. The Lions game is the biggest one, but let's not give the people what they want just yet. Cleveland at Houston.
Fun game. Fun, exciting game. I think this is one where you like look at the logos and then you think about the quarterbacks and just, oh, it's a rookie quarterback against Joe Flacco and it's the Texans and the Browns. But I think you look at this is a really, really fun matchup. You have a high-powered Texans offense with C.J. Stroud, who has just been slinging the ball all over the field. And then NFL is one of the top defenses in the NFL with like this aging quarterback who's trying to write his last chapter and maybe get another Super Bowl ring or just add to already his eliteness, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for this one. What do we have? What are you seeing here for the spread and the total?
2.5 is what I see for the spread.
Oh, yeah.
Browns by 2.5 and mm-hmm. the total either 44.5 or 45, somewhere in that range. It depends on which sports book you're looking at. Here's my thing. Back in September, after the third game of the year for CJ Stroud, I was like, holy shit, this guy's good. Now I will admit this about myself. I am the biggest rookie hot topic media hater there is. I hate those things. Whenever it's like, this person's the greatest of all, this is a future Hall of Famer, I'm always anti that. Like, you got to earn it. You got to prove it. You got to do all that. And like, I will be the person who sits there and watches a rookie have 3 good games and says, this person still sucks. Like, prove it to me the second year. CJ Stroud is going to have a sophomore slump every quarterback does. And now he's got to play against the first place schedule next year, which is going to be hard. But I love CJ Stroud. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's got a fantastic career ahead of him. What he did this year was insane. When you look at his yards, it took him, 7 weeks to throw an interception? It was so ridiculous. That being said, the Browns are going to beat the living shit out of the Texans in this game. They're going to beat the shit out of them. I think that this is – so when I look at these spreads, I always try to think, what is Vegas trying to get us to do? And when you look at the Bucs-Eagles game, the Eagles are 2.5-point road favorites, and I feel like they want us to pick the Eagles. And I think the Bucs could surprise people because the Eagles are playing terrible right now. I think with the Browns, you can make the same argument, but I think right now CJ Stroud is such a fun thing to follow, and he's been playing really good. But here is what people aren't looking at. CJ Stroud this year, when he played – so the Browns have the number one pass defense in the NFL. Number two pass defense in the NFL, somehow, despite how horrible they were, was the New York Jets. No matter how bad that team was, they still had the second fewest passing yards allowed per game. When CJ Stroud played them, he got hurt, but he got hurt after halftime. They hadn't scored a point, and in total, in almost 3 full quarters, I forget exactly when he got hurt, he threw for 91 yards. Okay, and he was healthy for most of that game. So just to really like hammer home how bad that was, CJ Stroud threw the ball 23 times. And threw for 91 yards and only completed 10 passes. He played the third best pass defense in the league this year. And that is the Carolina Panthers. What happened in that game? Texans lose, give Carolina their first win of the season. Stroud throws for 140 yards.
Wait, the Panthers are not the third best pass
defense in football.
In what metric? Yards allowed. That's a bullshit metric.
Okay, so that's a bullshit stat. But CJ,
because Stroud, here's why. No, here's why. Here's why. No, but here's why the Panthers have the best pass defense. No one throws the ball against them because they have such a big lead after the first quarter and they run the ball. That's looking at the. You need yards per attempt. You need other metrics because total yards per game. Everyone is running the ball against Carolina the whole entire second half.
But here's the point. That doesn't change the point that CJ Stroud
and the Jets. That same thing goes for the Jets because the Jets, everyone kills, has a lead, and then they just run the ball. So pass, I mean,
but he didn't have
passing
lead,
numbers.
Well, he didn't have a
lead. I know in that in the game, I'm
but
just
in
saying,
both of those games,
I'm saying these numbers can lie to you. When you, I've been through this road before, you look, it's like, wait, all these like really bad teams have like the best pass defense in terms of yards per game. It's like, yeah, because no one throws the ball when they have a lead. So,
but okay, but if you said to me the Texans won that game 30-15 against the Panthers, I'd be like, okay, that's fair. That's totally fair. But they didn't. They lost. And to the Jets, they lost. And Stroud couldn't throw worth shit. So whether those teams are actually the second and third best pass defenses, it doesn't matter. Right now, that's where they're ranked in terms of yards. The Browns are number one. And the Browns actually are that good. The Browns aren't a team that, oh, well, their run defense is so bad that that's why it's happening. No, they're not. If you look at their rushing yards allowed per game, the Browns are in the top 10.
No, the Browns probably have the best defense in the NFL, I'd say.
Stroud's like going to get eaten alive. And I think Flacco is – I think the Texans' defense is good enough to keep them in the game for a while, but I think Flacco won't make any mistakes, and I think the Browns are going to blow them away.
So, for me, this game is going to come down to turnovers, as it often does in the NFL. And Flacco has been extremely turnover-prone with his interceptions. And then you look at C.J. Stroud, which you say, hey, a rookie quarterback, playoff game, you can't trust that. He threw 5 interceptions all season. That's and, ridiculous. Yeah, I think Davis Mills came in for, like, what, a spot start here and there?
Keenum
I
think Mills both started Keenum, one game.
So I think, he played 15 games and threw 5 interceptions? So, like,
of them were in one game.
There, I mean, that – so – and the Browns could easily pick him up. I just – if I'm looking at just the turnover volatility here, it so heavily favors the Texans. Where I feel like Flacco is so likely to do it and CJ Stroud is so unlikely to do it that I kind of want to take the points and just say all it takes is a couple errant passes from Flacco, a couple extra possessions. That's how the NFL kind of works, especially with these kind of early wildcard playoff games where it's not one team is clearly better. And I might take the points here.
I think what gives me confidence in the Browns is that when they played with Deshaun Watson earlier in the year, they still managed to win games despite Deshaun Watson. Let's see how many interceptions Deshaun Watson threw this year. Okay, because this is fun. Deshaun Watson, how many interceptions did he throw this year? He threw 4. Okay, so not that many. How many games?
Fewer than CJ Stroud.
Yeah, but how many games did he play? I'm trying to find this. 1, 2, three, 4.
6?
He played in... 4, 5. He played in 6 games, and in one of those games, he only threw 5 passes. So he really played in 5 games, and he threw 4 interceptions.
So he's good for a pick per game.
Yeah. And the Browns in those games went 2, 3. They went 4, 5, and 1. The Browns defense is so good that they can overcome that stuff. So that's where I think.
Yeah. Flacco started what, 4 games? For the Browns, 5, 4, 5, and he's at 8 interceptions. Like he's going 2, he's giving you 2 per game.
Yeah,
and Stroud's giving you like a third of one. So,
but then what happened in those games though?
Yeah, no, I mean the Browns are good, and maybe 2.5 is too low. I think if this thing goes north of 3, give me the Texans. I think Browns by a field goal is. Right in that sweet spot. 2.5 is a little bit tricky. I don't know. It's tricky. It's tricky. Yeah. One. Should we move on? We spent a good amount of time.
Yeah, we can move on to the next one. I just think that's an interesting game because
it is. I like this game a lot. It might be one of my favorite games of the weekend.
All right, let's go to the Freeze Bowl here. Miami at Kansas City. Game time temperature projected at 0. Wind chill brings it down to -9. What do we think about the Dolphins traveling from Miami to go to 0/-9 degrees?
I feel like if you told me at the start of the season we were going to get Dolphins versus Chiefs in the wild card round, I'd be like, oh, man, sign me up. Mm-hmm. These are 2 high-flying offenses, fun quarterbacks, AFC powerhouses. You know, the Dolphins, I know they weren't they tailed off at the end of last year, but, you know, Tua was going through his concussion stuff. And, you know, just give me Tyreek Hill and Waddle just blitzing down the field. I would have been just so pumped. Every circumstance of this game, everything we've seen this season is just calling to me that we're getting, like, the worst possible version of this game.
Yeah,
for one, Miami cannot. Miami can't win on the road to save their lives. So Miami's not a road team. Miami does not travel. But now they're traveling not only to another team's arena, they're traveling to a 0-degree arena with snow when they live in humidity all year. So that's one, and we know how that works. Two, the Chiefs are like a shell of themselves and are not even fun to watch anymore. They have no receiving game. Travis Kelce is old. He's Taylor Swift has done something to him, so he can't even like get open. Like he literally runs like this and like turns. I don't have fantasy this year. I yelled at the TV a lot. I grabbed in the first round of like, oh, I'm gonna get the number one tight end. I don't have to worry about tight end. No streaming, no stressing or sweating. And it's like his worst season ever, pretty much. So he's over the hill. He's done. The Dolphins also, when you look at teams that they have beaten, they never beat a good team. They never beat like a playoff caliber team. Mahomes, he can't win on the road, but guess what? He's at home. So it's like
they're only 5-4 at home this year. That's the craziest part.
So everything is like, man, this could have been such a high flying game. You have the Tyreek Hill narrative too. But I just feel like the Dolphins are going to go there. They're going to be out of their element. Mahomes, they're going to run the ball a bunch. Mahomes will make a couple passes. They'll throw to Rashee Rice a few times. But
there you go, Jack Conner. I got him.
Kadarius Toney will drop a few passes. Maybe MVS will drop a pass.
Kadarius Toney has more drops, I think, in one game than CJ Stroud threw interceptions all year.
There you go. Facts. So I think am I going to watch this game? Duh. It's like, yeah. I'm not going to not watch an NFL playoff game, but the level at which it could have been the excitement, it just, we're so far away from that. What are the lines on this one, Phil? I have not done any prep for this show.
Yeah. Did you take, all. So let's
working
let's,
all day. Jesus.
Let's get a little game going here though. So in that last game, I'm clearly taking the Browns at -2.5. And I would argue that you could take that spread. If you really wanted to get ballsy and risk, you take that up to like 7 and not obviously that you're going to get a big price for that. So that's why I'm saying it's worth the risk on a low risk, high reward there, but I would take them at -2.5. For sure. What would you take in that Houston game if you had to take one bet?
Like I told you, if that goes north of 3, if I see that thing at 3.5, I'm jumping on the Texans. So
I'm so right now you're not doing anything, but you would take it north of 3.5.
I would. I also what's the total?
40. It was 40. Well, so that total
is weird.
44.5, 45. That's a tough one. That, I will say.
Also, with that game, it's just a high variance game. Like, I could see a shootout. I could see like a 10-3. Like, there's a lot of variance there. I'm probably gonna stay away from the total, but I'm waiting for that number to climb.
Yeah, in this Chiefs Dolphins game, the spread is 4.5, and the total sitting at 44.5, 44. Get in on the under as soon as you can. That's my opinion. It's gonna be freezing cold. When these two teams played for the first time, they played in London. It was 21-14. The Dolphins shut the Chiefs out in the second half. They did a great job in the second half, and their defense has gotten better.
I would say the Chiefs are just a great under team overall this entire season. One, because you have everyone betting, you have these expectations of Patrick Mahomes and that Chief offense to literally put up a ton of points on the board and be this high flying offense, which they are not. Isaiah Pacheco gets the ball like 50% of the snaps, it feels like, and they just run clock out. And on the other end, you have Chris Jones and that pass rush and that defense absolutely just shutting teams down. So the Chiefs are such a good under bet, just no matter who they play, really.
And you're putting this prime time on Saturday night. It's Peacock exclusive. I mean, who's not
that screams under exclusive? That screams under
Peacock.
That's the new trend we're going to look at. Peacock exclusive unders.
Peacock exclusive. I mean, I don't know if – I mean, I know you were watching Sunday Night Football. The amount of times that they said, Peacock exclusive, as if it was like Santa's bringing extra presents, baby. It's like, yeah, great, dude. You can pay for streaming service.
Luckily for us, we were watching the Traders and already have
– Yeah, Peacock. So I already had to purchase it. But anyway, the under is the move here. You put that on primetime, Tua Tagovailoa in that offense. You have the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. The public is going to love the over in this game. They are going to absolutely love it. This is under all over. It's going to be cold as hell. Both teams are going to be running the ball. Tua Tagovailoa's arm might not make it through the game. I love the under. In terms of the spread, I don't really know because I actually think the Dolphins, everybody's so low on them right now. I could actually see the Dolphins maybe sneaking away with one there because the Chiefs are just playing absolutely horrible too. I don't think the Chiefs don't impress me. So I think the Dolphins could win that game, but it's going to be so cold. I'll just take the under and forget about the spread.
What's the spread?
4.5.
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, I probably lay them. Yeah. I kind of feel like the Chiefs are like sleepwalking through the season. It's what I feel like the Patriots would do this too, where they like won a few Super Bowls and then like they end up like 11-5 and you're like, are the Patriots like not, are they not one of the top, they don't have one of the best records. Like they won their division, but they're like a 3 seed. And then like you watch a playoff game, and you're like, oh yeah. Okay. I remember Tom Brady in the playoff. Like I remember what goes on here. And it could be a little bit of that where the Chiefs just feel like, I mean, you look at their division, that is one of the worst divisions outside of Kansas City. It's like the Raiders, the Chargers, the Broncos, all teams in absolute peril. The Chiefs didn't need to work that hard. They didn't need to show their hand. So part of me feels like they might just come out and be like, oh yeah, we're back. We're still the defending Super Bowl champions here, and just put a beat down on the Dolphins, especially in that cold. So I will probably, if I had to lean one way, I'd lay that with the Chiefs.
All right, cool. I'm gonna hold you to that because I can't have you sit here and wish-wash your way through this entire episode. All right, let's jump over to Sunday. The worst game by far, hands down, no questions asked, of the weekend. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Over-under at 36.5. The spread is currently sitting at 10. Could be up at 10.5, 11. It doesn't, like, it's moving. But right now it's at 10. 59% of the – so here's how I like to look at it. 59% of the money currently is on Pittsburgh to cover. The spread opened at 9.5 and has grown to 10. So that means that even though 59% of the money is on Pittsburgh, odds makers don't give a shit and are so happy people are picking Pittsburgh right now.
I would take Pittsburgh here.
That's what they want you to do. I'm taking Buffalo for sure.
What is it, 10.5 right now?
Right now it's 10. You can get it for 10. FanDuel, BetMGM. Yeah, most of them are 10.
Can I get 10.5 though?
If you want, yeah. I mean, you would have to probably pay like minus 115, minus 120, but sure.
It's not out there. 10.5? I bet it is.
Well, what I'm looking at right now, I mean, I can go on DraftKings. Hold on. Let me look here. I'll tell you. I mean, it's not out there as the standard line. You could get it as an alt line, and it would cost you, if you were to go for
10. No, I mean, I bet there's like, I bet like some book has it at 10.5. It's fine.
Minus 128 right now.
I just, what have we seen from Buffalo to be like, this team's actually good besides their previous seasons and Josh Allen, who turns the ball over as much as Joe Flacco?
I mean, they won 5 straight. And I know they haven't looked good in all
of them. They have not looked good at all.
They beat the Cowboys by 21.
Yeah.
And during that stretch, they beat the Chiefs and they beat the Dolphins.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of this is the NFL being extremely mediocre this year outside of two teams. I mean, that's part of this whole deal, why it's so tricky. You're giving me 10.5 points with Mike Tomlin. I feel like he stays within that number. I just do. I feel like I can't trust the Bills. I can maybe trust the Bills to say, hey, they're going to find a way to scrape through and win this wild card matchup. But do I trust them to cover 10
points? TJ Watt's not playing, though. How much does that affect things? No pass rush getting to Josh Allen.
I just trust – it's more that I trust this. I trust Mike Tomlin and the franchise not to get blown out. Like, I'd like just to make it a game for a half and then maybe just hang around and kick a field goal and you lose by 8. You know, like that's – I'm not predicting a Steelers upset or that the Steelers are going to even come close to winning this game, but at 10.5 or 10 points, man, it feels too high for a team. Again, I brought up turnovers in the Browns Texans game. Josh Allen cannot take care of the football. I mean, he slings that thing and then it's like, oh, but he gets so many other plays done. I it's scary. If you're laying
Josh Allen had the second most interceptions in the NFL this year behind only Sam Howell.
If you're laying 10 points with Josh Allen, I just feel like that's going to be a sweaty bet. And I just rather it would be on the Steelers. Not that I think the Steelers are going to win.
I just want to throw this out, and then we can move on to another game because I really do think this is the worst one. So the Steelers lost 7 games this year, right? They lost their first one by 23. So that's one.
To the Niners.
Yep. They lost to the Texans by 24. They lost to the Jags by 10, so that would technically be a push, but still a 10-point loss. They lost to the Browns, but it was with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback by only 3. So we're still at 3 of their losses. They lost to the Cardinals by 14 at home. They lost to the Patriots by 3. They lost to the Colts by 17. So 5 of their 7 losses this year were by 10 or more points.
Yeah, but that was all Kenny Pickett and Trubisky, I believe. I think Mason Rudolph.
Did I mention that they lost to the Cardinals by 14? It really shouldn't matter who the quarterback in that game is. That's pretty bad.
Oh, the quarterback always matters. And the Cardinals are weirdly not that bad. This whole season I've been like betting the Cardinals and taking the points, and they've covered quite a bit.
I'm taking the Bills. Nothing on that spread, on the total, though. That's way too low of a number. That's scary.
What is like 32?
36 and a half.
Oh, yeah, that probably goes under, though.
All right, next game, Packers at Cowboys. Spread currently sitting at 7.5. It opened at 7. It's moved up to 7.5. Total is 50.5. I'm going to say this off the bat. If the Packers don't fall behind by double digits in the first half of this game, Aaron Jones player props are the best thing to play right now. Aaron Jones over the last 3 weeks, 111 yards last week, 120 the week before, 127 the week before that. He was hurt for most of the year, so he wasn't doing much. Last 3 weeks, he's been unbelievable. The Cowboys can't stop the run. The only reason, Phil, Will, you were talking about those fake stats. The only reason their rush defense isn't worse in the league is because their offense is so good, they're always winning. But when they actually get a team against them that can run the ball, they can't stop the run. So I won't give my pick here on like an over under or a spread yet, but I will say Aaron Jones at, I think he's at like 69.5 rushing yards. I would alt that all the way up to 100. Like, I'm not even joking. I think he goes over 100 yards in this game.
Wait, or 100 yards rushing or rushing?
100 yards rushing. Rushing.
Yeah, that's I would not advise to take that bet. I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. I would take some sort of rushing plus receiving line. I always like that. The numbers, you know, they always juice it up a little bit higher. But at least you're covered. I hate when I take a running back like over 80 rushing yards and then you hit them with a screen pass for like 50 yards and none of it matters. So, I mean, maybe rushing plus receivings if you're really into Aaron Jones. I don't know if I can advise a full take over 69.5 rushing yards, especially if they're going to be down.
I don't think they're going to be down that much.
This Cowboys offense, man, they are legit. They might be one of the best offenses in the NFL. I mean, they've got to be what, top three?
We're going to see how this goes as we move forward. They were the top scoring offense throughout the year. They scored the most points per game, or most points just in general. We're going to have to see how this goes, but I'm going to be honest. I know that earlier in the year, these two teams didn't play. Did they? No, they didn't. I really think that the Packers can win this game. I really think that. I really do.
I feel like that's the public vibe of being like.
No, the public loves the Cowboys right now. They're all over the Cowboys. Right now,
that seems like such a trendy upset underdog. The Cowboys and Dak.
71%
They underperform in the playoffs. And now we got this, not a rookie, but first year starting full-time quarterback in Jordan Love. And they've got this ragtag group of guys up in Green Bay who have a coach who's, you know, been in a lot of playoff games before, and they can take it to them. And I just don't know if I fully buy that. I think the Cowboys are in another league offensively than the Packers. And just, it's hard. What is it? What, 7.5 is what we're looking at right now?
Yeah. And the Cowboys haven't lost at home this year. That's worth noting. Or they did. It was just what they didn't lose at home once this year.
Yeah. The 7.5, it makes it, you know, that half is really makes it tricky. I think I probably still lay them with the boys, though. I don't see Dallas losing this game. Like, this might be a good one for a teaser if you want to toss
tease
this
it down
one
to a half point or 1.5.
I tease it down to 1.5, and then there's probably another good teaser on the board that we've missed so far, but we can maybe keep an eye out for one. But this feels like a great teaser opportunity with the boys.
I think the other teaser I would probably take would be like the Browns plus 4.5. I think I would go that because you're going through key numbers there. And I think the Texans win. That's a 3-point game. I think it's a field goal game.
Yeah. A Texans winning by like a touchdown
doesn't feel right.
All that likely.
Yeah. So that was probably what I would do. But I do. I like Green Bay in this game. I really do. I think that Green, I don't necessarily, they might not win this game. I'm not going to sit here, but it's kind of how you felt with the Texans, where it's like they're underdogs, but I could see them pulling it out. I like getting the extra half point here, 7.5. I think Dallas has a really good offense, but I think in recent weeks, their run defense has been exploited. And I don't really care what happened in the Lions-Cowboys game. Like, the Cowboys won the game. It's over. There's nothing to say about it.
The Lions won, I thought. Wait, didn't the Lions win?
Yeah, well, they did, but then it was taken away. But
they threw three offensive linemen yelling gibberish all at one time. That's what
happened. Yeah, and they ran the ball well against the Cowboys, though. And I think right now the Cowboys can't stop the run. I think in Jordan Love's first playoff game, if the Packers are smart –
I don't think this Packers team is good. I've kind of thought they've been. I feel like they beat up on bad teams. They don't beat anybody good.
Beat the Lions in Detroit. Beat the Chiefs. Beat the Rams.
I don't think the Chiefs are that good. I don't think the Rams. I mean, the Rams when they beat the Rams
without Matt Stafford. So
yeah, I don't think the Rams have gotten so much better later in the season. I can't just chalk up anyone against the Rams. Beating the Lions, I don't know. It's a division
on game. Thanksgiving. That's pretty good. Beating the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving is pretty good.
But beating the Lions on Thanksgiving, that's a tradition that many NFL teams have held every year.
Not bad ones. not like that. I don't know. I just think
I don't know if I'm ready to be like Jordan Love is fully ready to like pull an upset off on the road wild card weekend. Or even come really that close to it, to be honest.
It would be funny though. The over
trust me, I would love the Cowboys to get eliminated. Like, I'm a Niner fan. I would love to just and get them out of here. Even though it would also be funny if we eliminated the Cowboys three seasons in a row.
That would be funny.
That would be really funny.
But you're not going to, because Cowboys aren't getting to the NFC Championship game. They won't get there.
They are, I feel like, the biggest threat to the Niners, but we also beat them like 40-10 or 40-13 or something.
Yeah. There's no way Christian McCaffrey will be stopped by the Cowboys. So that would be a blowout. I think the Cowboys would get killed, but 50.5, I would take the over. I don't think we need to talk too much about that, but I would take the over. I think that both teams will.
I know we talked about the spread mostly, but I do love totals, and 50.5. I do like the over. Yeah. I like the over.
Cause if this goes the way you're thinking and the Cowboys beat the crap out of the Packers, they're going to score 40 points themselves.
No, because they don't slow down, really. No. It could literally be like
38-10.
35-17. What does that get us? 52?
52.
So that's over.
Yeah. Look at that. Will with an official score prediction. Get that for plus 10,000 or something.
35-17.
I hope that the Packers score a pointless touchdown at the end and go to kick the field goal or kick the extra point, and it's 35-16 because the guy doinks it and you miss that by one point.
Why would you want that? You would then TikTok that clip and put it out everywhere and be like, we're the sports specialists.
We're them boys. All right. Rams versus Lions. So
Chargers. I'm like, what are the Chargers sneaking here, man?
The nightmare game as a Lions fan that I really didn't want, because now the Lions get their first home playoff game since 1993 and they got to play against Matt Stafford, who they haven't seen. But I'll be honest with you. With the amount of public love that the Los Angeles Rams are getting right now, I've never been more confident in the Lions winning this game. The public has already moved the Rams. The Rams aren't even just going to – they're not just going to win this game. The Rams are going to the Super Bowl because they're so damn hot right now. That's how people are talking. I am starting to get real confident in the Lions, and especially when this line opened at 3.5. Vegas knew people were going to take the Rams at 3.5. Why didn't they open it at a smaller number then? Why didn't they do it at 2.5 and make people think about taking Detroit on the other side of the number? I am starting to get way too confident in the Lions in this game. And the main reason is Kyren Williams is a big part of the Rams offense, and the Lions are really good against the run and really bad against the pass. But if you keep them out of being able to run with Kyren Williams, Matt Stafford's going to throw a pick or two. It happens every game. There's nothing you can do about it. I like that. And Goff, he's got to take care of the football. But I don't think the Rams' defense is as good as they were a couple years ago when they made their run. So I like the Lions, but this is a game I won't bet because it'll just make me sad no matter what happens.
We said this was the marquee game of the weekend. Here's some stats to back it up. Ticket prices. Oh, no. Okay. Minimum. These are tickets minimums. Okay. What game do you think has the lowest ticket minimum?
Texans.
No.
Really? Wait, hang on. Let me look one more time.
Well, don't look up the answer.
No. I'm looking one more time. So I am shocked it's not the Texans. I figured KC, Buffalo, Dallas, Detroit. Oh, Tampa. But I mean, the Eagles are going to Tampa. I went to a Tampa game earlier this year.
It's Kansas City. And I think a big part of that is because it's going to be negative 1 degrees.
Yeah.
Those tickets are at $66. The second highest ticket price. And then again, it's the lowest ticket you can just get in to get into the stadium. Is in Buffalo at $141. That's the minimum that you have to pay to just get in the stadium. Guess what it is for Rams Lions?
Earlier today, I'd seen this. Earlier today, it was $453, but I assume that's gone down because that's just astronomical.
It is $396 just to get in.
It's insane. I was trying to convince my father-in-law for my birthday to get me tickets if the Lions got that, and then I didn't even have that conversation once I saw the prices. It's insane. Right. Because then I got to get to Detroit, and I got to go to Detroit in January.
And if you want to get a somewhat like not nosebleed, then it's probably like $600 or $700. So it's like,
yeah.
Hopefully,
all the Lions fans don't have any money left by the time they get to the Super Bowl, because then I can get the Super Bowl tickets real cheap.
Yeah, yeah, they spend it all. This one's tough for me because part of me wants to not believe fully in what the Rams have done as of late. Like, who have they really had that big of like a marquee win? I know they have great players, but it feels like too little too late and kind of like a hodgepodge group on the Rams, at least football wise. But the other half of me is like, man, this is kind of the most Lions thing ever. To like finally win the division, get a home game, and then your former quarterback comes in and eliminates you and ends your season in your very first playoff game. That feels so Lions and so Detroit to me. It's hard for me to think that Jared Goff and this defense are just going to shut down the Rams and make this thing happen, even though football-wise, maybe that's where my head leans. It's more like overall, like, the Lions are just kind of cursed. And this would be so funny to be like, oh, gotcha. You thought you were in the playoffs? Ha, good one. No. Stafford's going to come kick your ass. Sorry.
Yeah. So I want to just throw this out there as during this Rams. So I was very successful with the Rams making the playoffs and Rams over 6.5 wins to start the year. And I took the Rams to make the playoffs when they were 3-6. Like, their schedule was so easy down the stretch. I said, if Matt Stafford comes back, you were getting plus 500 at one point. So like, if Matt Stafford comes back, you're gonna make playoffs. I have the tickets to back that up. But here's their stretch, right? Seahawks, they beat them by one. They beat the crap out of the Cardinals. They beat the Browns 36-19. That was Flacco's first game. Also Flacco's only loss during his stretch since he's come back. Then they lose to the Ravens in Baltimore. Close game, goes to overtime. That was exciting. They beat the Commanders. They beat the Saints. They beat the Giants by one. And then the Niners game at the end of the year doesn't matter because neither team was playing anybody.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Their wins aren't that impressive because even that Browns win where they blew the Browns out, it was Flacco's first game back. So what are the expectations really for Flacco in that game? Now, the Lions lost to the Seahawks at home. They lost to the Packers at home. They should have lost to the Bears at home. And then instead they just lost to the Bears on the road. The Lions have lost some stinkers this year, but I think there's going to be a lot of hype. I think that I think that home field is going to make a huge difference in this game. I really do think it's going to make a huge difference. And Stafford just throws picks. So like, if I had to pick, I would take the Lions. I don't know if I would take them against the spread. I might honestly just take their money line and lump it with something else in the game. Maybe I find like a player prop I like, but.
Or tease the Lions, maybe.
Tease the Lions.
I could see them losing by one point on like a last point, like just a last second field goal. And then tease that with the Chiefs? That was my prior tease.
No, it wasn't the Chiefs. It was the Bills. Or not the Bills. No, who was it?
Who was my tease?
Oh, it was the Cowboys because you don't see them losing that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you tease those. That's your Sunday afternoon.
Tease the Cowboys, tease the Lions. And I think that thing wins like almost all the time.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, when you look at the Rams, as somebody who had them to make the playoffs, watching that Giants game in New York, and I get that's outside, so that's different. They almost lost that game. Like, they should have lost that game. So, man, it's stressful with the Rams. And, like, I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think Matt Stafford is going to throw for a boatload of yards. One big thing people aren't talking about, C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming back for the Lions on the back end is massive. Because they were playing all year without having any
type of fully ready to go.
He played last week.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's big. I would take the Lions. What would you take if you if I'm making you so for the entertainment purposes? Who would you take?
What do we got? Three and a half.
It's 3.5 right now.
I'm seeing 3 in a lot of places.
It's 3.5 at BetMGM. Oh, it is 3. No, you're right. You're right. It's only 3.5 at BetMGM. It's 3 at every other major one.
I almost would take Rams plus 3.5. Just thinking that the Lions could either lose this in heartbreaking fashion, like a fumble while trying to like kneel the ball or something.
Shut up.
Like, or like Miami versus Georgia Tech, like something like that.
Well, you also got to remember, there are people in black and white who always play for the other team. The Lions will have a new rule made about them after this game is over.
It's hard to ignore that. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I want to root for the Lions. Like, I am rooting for the Lions. Don't get me wrong. Like, I want to see the Lions win a playoff game. Again, I have a lot of family in Michigan. I was talking how I'm a Michigan. They're all Lions fans. Like, I've been to Ford Field.
I haven't been to Michigan.
What?
I just suffer. I've never been to Michigan, but I suffer.
Yeah. I think 3.5, you gotta take the Rams.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would stay away from the spread, but if I was going to, I'd take the Rams.
What's the total?
51.5. Hammer the over. I think this game is going to be 35-28, 35-31. Like, I think this is high scoring for sure.
I like that. Ugh. I don't know. NFL, man. NFL's tough.
You never know. But I do think this will be higher scoring. That being said, like, if you're doing one of those brackets, let's do this real quick. If you're doing one of those brackets.
Choose the Niners or someone's Super Bowl if you're doing
Yeah, but like brackets. In this first round, who would you take? Cleveland, Houston, just who's going to win?
I would take Houston.
Okay, and I would take Cleveland. So that's different. Miami, Kansas City?
Chiefs.
I agree. Buffalo, Pittsburgh?
Buffalo.
We're going to be podcasting during the second half of that game. That's how bad that game's going to be. Okay, so Buffalo. Dallas, Green Bay. Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, it changes if you're making a bracket, because when you're in a bracket pool, your goal is to pick one team to make a run that's not one of the top seeds. Like with any bracket pool challenge. Yeah, but even Cleveland is like the hot, not top seed. Like, you have to pick a team to go to the championship weekend, like the Rams or the Steelers. Just pick
who's winning the game, Will.
I'm just telling everyone who's making a bracket, you can't go all chalk. And you can't even go with like the popular sleeper teams either, because everyone else is going to have that. You have to carve out a path.
We're going to get to that in a second, Will. We're going to get there. But Dallas or Green Bay, who's winning?
Dallas.
Detroit or the Rams?
Rams.
Okay, and I'll go Detroit. This last game, this is your sleeper team. This is it. These are the guys. These are them boys. Tampa Bay is going to beat the Eagles. And Tampa Bay, if it lines up, could go and beat Dallas. If it lines up. Now, granted, that would mean the Lions have to lose. If the Lions lose to the Rams would go to San Fran. Who cares about that game? That's useless. And then you would get Tampa going to Dallas. Tampa could be that team. Tampa is 2.5-point underdogs in this game. The Eagles, fresh off of a Super Bowl appearance, with Jalen Hurts and the tush push and all that fun stuff, going on the road, favored by 2.5. That is baiting you into taking the Eagles.
This is part of what I was saying about the Chiefs a little bit. I mean, not as much, because, you know, at least the Chiefs have won 2 Super Bowls with their, you know, somewhat current makeup of coaching staff and quarterback and all that. Where the Eagles, they just did it one season last year with Hurts. But part of me feels like, man, you know, you're you don't need to play your best football, especially when you start to, what are they, 8-1 to start the season?
Yeah, but I think the thing that's scary about this team is they started off 8-1 and they didn't look good in those 8 wins either. It just seems like it caught up to them finally.
It's definitely not the same as the Chiefs. I give the Chiefs, my leash on the Chiefs is definitely longer, but
they were 10-1 and they finished.
Part of me feels like, you know what? It's Jalen Hurts. You got Devontae Smith and AJ Brown on the outside. You got Goddard streaming through the middle. You have all these weapons with, you know, Swift and the defense is really good. The O-line should be good. I mean, I know the defense hasn't played well whatsoever, but when you look at those players, it's almost like they were on cruise control. And now I'm not fully ready to just say, hey, let's write this team off. Because they went to the Super Bowl last year, even though the only reason they went was because the Niners didn't have a quarterback who could throw the ball forward. They couldn't make a forward pass, which tends to be a very important part of football, as we learned when the Niners played the Eagles this season. It was impactful to the score of the game that the Niners could throw the ball forward.
What do you put into the fact that Jalen Hurts' middle finger on his throwing hand was definitely broken and is definitely going to be a problem in this game? Yeah. They're being hush hush about what's going on with that, but
something's up. I mean, with the NFL these days and with their relationship to these gambling companies, it's part of the NFL's MO and their mantra now to have publicly available injury information so that people can get their money in without feeling they're being robbed or gypped or being misled or that someone has an edge on them. I mean, you see this in college football also. You're seeing injury reports being taken way more seriously with the amount of people that are betting on the game, and that these injury reports should matter. But for some reason, there's the Hurts deal is like still kind of a mystery. I don't know what to make of it. 2.5. It's not enough points for me to be like, I'm going to take the Bucks. Because basically, if you're taking the Bucks,
I'm taking the Bucks to win this game. I would take the money line in this game.
If you're taking the Bucks at +2.5, you are giving them a very, very realistic shot at upsetting the Eagles and winning this game. You know, the previous NFC champion, the current champion of the NFC. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm fully there. I mean, I love the Baker Mayfield story, but I don't know. This one's tough.
I am taking in every pool I'm doing and everything I'm doing, and maybe I'll be wrong. I mean, I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. I'm taking the Bucks in
there. If you're taking the Bucks in every pool you're doing, then I am going to hop on the Eagles just because I don't think you're going to be that good. I don't think you're that good. I don't think you're going to get that right.
And I was a Bucks hater at the beginning of the year. I mean, I went to the Bucks Lions game. The Lions beat the crap out of them. The Bucks can't score. Earlier this year, the Bucks got blown out by the Eagles. I think it was 25-11 or something like that. This being in Tampa doesn't make that much of a difference. I look at Jalen Hurts' injury, though. I look at how the Eagles have played recently. I look at how the Eagles played all season. They just were finding ways to win in that early stretch. The Eagles could very easily have ended this year 7-10, 8-9, 6-11. They're not far from that. They're a couple plays away from that. And so I really think the Bucks right now, the Bucks have been playing playoff games week after week at this point because they've had a win.
That's a good point. They're probably more up for it. I don't really trust Todd Bowles at all. Like, I feel like I have a joke with some friends when we watch football. If you ever see Todd Bowles on the sideline, he just stands and like holds his sheet and just doesn't open his, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell, he just looks around and doesn't do anything. I guess his coordinators are running the show. He doesn't say anything. He just stands on the sideline looking out. And I just don't know if I trust him as a head coach.
It's fair.
I don't really trust Nick Sirianni, though.
Nick Sirianni's horrible.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
I don't know if I like him. So I don't know. This one, I don't think the Eagles are I'm not trying to say they're like this some sleeping giant, but
Eagles have no pass defense, and this is legit. They can't stop the pass against anybody. This isn't like, I'm not looking at numbers or anything. Like, every team's throwing against the Eagles, but that's because the Eagles are easy to throw against at this point. Mm-hmm. Baker loves to throw. I think he's going to throw for a lot of yards in this game. Weather won't be an issue because it's in Tampa, although we've had like 50 mile an hour winds down here the last couple of days, but I think that'll be gone by this weekend. I just think the Eagles with Jalen Hurts beat up, I don't think they have. Is AJ Brown even playing? Like, what's up with AJ Brown?
You got to think he's suiting up.
Let me see. AJ Brown. He's hopeful about having AJ Brown and Devonta Smith in Tampa. Yeah. That's the latest news.
They're gonna play. This is NFL players.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Raheem Mostert didn't play in the AFC East Championship game last week, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, but they have Achan, so.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk about with the NFL playoffs, or should we close this thing out? We went way longer.
I mean, hey, predict your Super Bowl right now.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Lions over Dolphins. I'm a Lions
oh,
fan.
Oh, my God.
My dad's a Dolphins fan, so Lions over Dolphins.
That's brutal. I'm going to go Niners, obviously. I'm a Niners fan.
Shocked.
But I don't want to go chalk in the AFC, so I got to pick another team. I'll go Buffalo. I'll go Niners, Buffalo. The Bills finally.
Wow, really, really reaching. So you're telling people you got to pick a team to go on a run that isn't the popular pick, and then you pick the two shortest odds to win the Super Bowl to go to the Super Bowl.
No, the Ravens are the favorite. No,
the Bills have shorter odds at this point.
No way. Get out of here.
Oh, no, I'm lying about that.
You are definitely lying. Super Bowl odds. Let's see. Niners plus 220 at the favorite. Ravens plus 320 in second place. And the Bills are in third place at plus 650. That's kind of surprising to me with the way they played. I mean, at least watching them.
Yeah, it's because they won five in a row. But I don't like – I mean, Baltimore hasn't done it with Lamar in the playoffs. And I know everybody would be like, oh, that's the story. To me, it's just like the Bills to me are the favorite to come out of the AFC.
I don't think they're I don't
– If you want to make a hot
take – The Ravens are the right favorite. Now, it's not even a hot take. Again, when I make these pools too, what did I say before? I didn't say make the Super Bowl. I said make the conference championship. Make a conference championship weekend. That's what I do with the Final Four pools is like pick your wacky teams for the Elite Eight. Once you get down to four, maybe dial it in to some more chalk. So, I mean, if it's like Buffalo versus like the Steelers, that's a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
I know they're already playing. But, you know, pick someone else. It's like Browns versus the Bills. Maybe that's a it nice can't be little.
The Super Bowl. It's the AFC championship.
No, that's what I'm saying. Pick your weird team for the championship weekend. You know, Texans, Bills, AFC championship game. I mean, we had the Jaguars in the championship game, like not that long ago. I know people forget.
I would, my realistic one, like if I was actually picking right now, I would say it's going to be Niners and Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to turn it on. And I think the Chiefs are going to figure it out. And I think Mahomes has just been there. He's going to get a home game. He won't get a home game in the second round.
2019 over again.
It's 2019 over again.
2020.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Whatever it is. I do want to throw one bet out there, though, for the weekend. And this is for those of you who stuck around for an hour and 20 minutes. Who will have the most passing yards during the wild card round? Who do you think is, what do you think like the favorite for that is? And who do you think the longest shot is for that?
You know, you want a game that's going to be somewhat close so that the quarterback is continuing to pass. Like Dak might be the favorite because
he's tied for the favorite. He's a co-favorite right now.
I was thinking Dak or like Goff and the Rams. I think Goff could be a sleepy one, like Goff or Stafford, like just because that game is going to be the most high scoring. I obviously don't see it in the cold. I don't see it, you know, I don't see CJ Stroud doing it against the Browns offense. I certainly don't see Joe Flacco doing
Joe Flacco is the co-favorite with Dak Prescott at DraftKings right now, which makes no sense to me. They're both plus 500.
Yeah, I think Dak is at plus 500 is pretty good. If you want to toss out two of those and then maybe grab Goff or Stafford.
I would say Dak is probably a good one, but I do think that we could run into the situation where they blow out Green Bay, even though I think that'll be a closer game. But if it's not a blowout, Dak won't throw as much late. And if it is a blowout, if it's not a blowout, it's going to be because the Packers are running the ball well, which will keep the ball to Dak Prescott's hands. I like Stafford going against the Lions defense because they're not easy to run against, but they're easy to throw against. But the one I really like at plus 1400, I just talked about, is Baker. Plus 1400, he has the fourth worst odds. The only ones with worse odds are Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Mason Rudolph. Baker Mayfield against the Eagles defense, that secondary, at plus 1400, you throw $10 down on that, that wins you 140. And I think that's very reasonable. Like Baker Mayfield could throw for 350, 400 yards in that game, especially if they're losing the whole game.
That's a fun pick. Where can you get that?
Right now I'm looking at DraftKings.
Is betting legal in Florida where you are?
You can't bet on Draft. You can only do Hard Rock down here. Hard Rock's the only one that's legal down here. And I doubt Hard Rock.
I got to find a friend to get some action on that. I'm in California, so not legal for me either. I never bet on games, so everyone knows. I just like talking about it.
Yeah. Betting is terrible. Don't bet. Also, let me see if you can get it. I don't think you can get it over here on whatever. But all right, anyway, that's one that is definitely worth playing in my
opinion. No, I think that's a really fun bet, especially if you take Baker plus 1400 and then throw some on Dak and then maybe put some on Goff or Stafford and have three, and then you get in these, you know, you're getting plus odds on these high plus numbers. Think you can I don't know. I mean, maybe Josh Allen and just rips the Steelers apart and you get screwed, but I kind of like spreading some money around on that, on those high plus values. That's always fun.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for the Phil and Will Show episode 2. Good luck this weekend with the NFL wild card. Will and I will be back tomorrow night. We're going to be podcasting The Trust, A Game of Greed, and then on Friday we're going to be podcasting The Traders, no subtitle needed.
A game of fun. Sneakiness.
And then we'll have to figure out when we're actually going to do the Phil and Will Show next week, because the Traders moves to Thursdays, the Trust is on Wednesdays, and Will is making a surprise visit. So we'll have to see when we're
going to. So, I mean, maybe this is the Phil and Will Show. Each week it gets one day earlier. So we start on Thursday. This week it's Wednesday. Next week it's Tuesday. And then eventually we're going to like go backwards in time. We're going to be doing Phil and Will shows for the next week before we've done the.
We're going to have to predict what's going to happen. That's pressing news so that we can release it. So, you know, follow us on social media at Survivor Specialist. Become a patron if you're interested in our content, patreon.com/thespecialist. Got a whole bunch of Survivor content, movie content going on over on the Patreon. At some point I could see us getting some sports content over there. Not right now, but I could see it happening soon. So,
I mean, the Phil and Will Show, if it gains a base, I know it is, again, Survivor's the main squeeze, but absolutely Patreon content to come. Yeah. If the Phil and Will Show can, you know, have some people tune in
and watch The Trust so that you can hear us talk tomorrow. Sorry, The Trust, A Game of Greed. Watch it so that you can hear us talk about it tomorrow. And, that's it. We'll see you later. Thank you all so much for listening. And hopefully now I can remember to go back and put in those timestamps, because man, do I not want to do that.